My friend Dan, he's got a podcast, cause all comics need a podcast, and nobody had a podcast called The Art of Bombing. So Dan went out and bought a tape deck. Who knows why he bought a tape deck? Podcasts don't get played on tape decks, but Dan is from the 80s. So hey there, all you funny jerks, come talk to Dan about your work. Tell him all about your worst times. It's The Art of Bombing.
Hello, Art of Bombing fans. This is Art of Bombing Presents Between Bombs. On this episode, we're going to be talking about comedy festivals and whether or not you should submit to that comedy festival. If you've been doing stand-up comedy for any amount of time, you're very well aware that there are a lot of different comedy festivals out there. And it can be very overwhelming trying to decipher which ones are legit and which ones aren't, which ones are you're going to get a better value, a better bang for your buck. So I thought I would do this mini episode. We decided to do it as a live episode, well, a streaming live episode. So for those of you that are watching, thank you. We're going to get into it in just a few. I will say, if you have any questions throughout the this episode, because we are doing this live via the internet, you can put your questions in the comments. And at the end of the, after I go through all the information, I will try to answer some of those questions for the people watching. So the first thing we're going to cover on comedy festivals, on whether or not you should submit to them, is we're going to cover the first thing you should do is figure out, is this festival legitimate? And what I mean by that is there's a lot of scammers out there in the world, even in comedy. I know, surprising. And it's hard to tell. There's so many comedy festivals, and they pop up all the time. In the last 5 years, comedy festivals have popped up all over. I mean, there was a time where, you know, there was always comedy festivals, but there wasn't as many, I don't feel like. And in the last 5 years, they're just popping up everywhere. And now, especially with virtual comedy, we have virtual comedy festivals popping up as well. And a lot of people wonder, should I apply to these festivals? How do I know if it's a legitimate festival? Well, there's no real 100 proof way that you'll ever know if a comedy festival is 100% legitimate, but there are some things that you can do to help ease your mind. And I mean, the main thing you can do is research. That's what it boils down to. You have to do your own due diligence and research the festival. And what I mean by that, well, the first things I do when I see somebody post about a comedy festival, if a comedy festival is taking submissions, the first thing I do is I check out their website, to make sure they even have a website. If there's no website attached to somebody posting about taking submissions, that's a red flag for me. I'm immediately no longer interested in this festival. That doesn't mean they're not legitimate. That just means, you know, like I said, to me, that's a red flag. You know, I also check out their social media pages to see what kind of followers they have, you know, what kind of numbers, because that's going to tell you, you know, they might not necessarily push their social media, but if they have a Facebook page and they have 400 or 500, you know, likes and follows on that page, that's going to say, hey, okay, they're definitely out there. People are aware of them. So that definitely helps make them look a little more legitimate. The thing, too, with going to their website, this is what's great about a website. I think a lot of businesses need to have a website that really helps make them look legitimate. I feel like, I know in the era of social media, a lot of people rely heavily on their social media platforms as their web presence. But to me, having a website really solidifies you as a business, because a customer can come to your webpage and find out everything they need to do, or everything about your business. Excuse me. And that's the same thing with a comedy festival. When you go to their website, you can do more research about that comedy festival. You can look at the about pages, find out who's producing this comedy festival. Excuse me. Because that's important. You want to find out, you know, who's behind who are the people behind, you know, the festival. Are what's their experience? Are they comedians themselves? Are they bookers, or is it a mix? You know, that's something you should be able to find out on their website. And then another thing you can do when you're researching, before you submit, If you're questioning whether or not this festival is legitimate, I suggest contacting the festival. You know, use the contact form or whatever, however they prefer you to contact them, and reach out, ask some questions about submitting, and see if anybody replies. Now, I'm not going to name this festival, but not long ago, I saw somebody posting for a new comedy festival was taking submissions, and I'd never heard of the comedy festival. I did a little bit of research about it. I couldn't find anything really about it. I talked to some other people in the industry. They hadn't heard anything about it. So then I thought, well, I'm going to reach out. I'll send an email. And they never replied to my email. Now, I can't tell you if they're a legitimate festival or not, but for me, I immediately thought, well, they never returned my email and answered any of my questions. To me, that's very scammy, and I decided not to apply myself. So, that's funny. Mike says I should name the festival. I would name them, but I don't remember the name. That's that's really why I'm not going to name them. I don't remember the name. It was a goofy a name of letters is what it was. But anyway, so that's one thing. That's another thing that you can do is contact them. And then when you're on their website, check to see who's sponsoring the festival and see if those sponsors are legitimate. Most comedy festivals, when they're getting sponsored, they're going to be sponsored, you know, maybe by national brands, but more times than not, they're going to be sponsored by local businesses. And what I mean local to their area, because most comedy festivals take place in different areas. For example, I helped produce a comedy festival called Snow Jam Comedy Festival. This year, we're doing it virtually because of, Corona, obviously. But in years past, we do it live in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and all our sponsors are local businesses. But you can look to see if those businesses are real, too. So that way, you know, anybody can say, oh, these businesses are sponsoring us. That doesn't necessarily make it true. You can even take one step further, reach out to those businesses and see if they really are involved with that festival. Another thing you want to look at when you're on the website, where are they hosting the shows? What are the venues? Is the local comedy club involved? Now, that doesn't mean if the local comedy club isn't involved, that does not mean that it's not a legitimate festival. There are plenty of comedy festivals that run in towns and they don't work with comedy clubs, or they don't work with all the comedy clubs. In bigger cities, you have multiple comedy clubs and there may be one comedy club that's involved and the other three aren't. So don't necessarily take that as, oh, it's not legitimate because the comedy club's not involved. But look at the venues and you can, you know, like I said, going back to the sponsors, you can go and contact these venues too if you want to. Another thing that I suggest before submitting to a comedy festival and to see, you know, whether or not it's legitimate is to look for press. Do Google research, you know, do some Google searches, look in for local news articles, whether it's on TV or print, look for press releases, things like that. Because if it's a legitimate festival and they're really trying to, you know, promote it, there's going to be some marketing behind it, and there's also going to be some press. If it's especially in, you know, local areas, comedy festivals are usually kind of a big deal because they're an annual event. So definitely look for press. The final thing that I would suggest when trying to figure out if a comedy festival is legitimate is reach out to somebody else that has already been on the festival. You've been doing comedy for a long time. You know, or maybe not a long time, but you're doing with comedy, we network very well, especially with social media. You know, and most of my Facebook friends are other comedians, other producers, things like that. I guarantee you, if the festival's been around for a couple of years, you can probably find somebody that you know that has done that festival. Reach out to them and ask them what they thought about the festival. Ask them about their experience with submitting, with performing, with, you know, customer service from the festival. How did they get treated? Did they have a good time? Did they feel like it was a good investment? Those are things you can ask other comedians, your other peers. I got a few comments here before we go on to the next section. I got a Facebook user, must be in our Facebook group, and it's I'm sorry, but on my end, it's anonymous, but it says, hi, Dan, so Whoever's watching from the Facebook group, I appreciate it. And then Justin said this was great advice. Thank you. We're going to keep moving along. So the next thing I want to talk about in regards to comedy festivals are submission fees. A lot of comics, especially newer comics, get upset when comedy festivals have submission fees. And unfortunately, it's part of the process. I understand there are comedy festivals that don't charge submission fees, and there are some that charge a lot of money for submission fees. I would say don't get discouraged by that, and don't I see this a lot on, especially on social media. You see people lash out at comedy festivals, and especially in comedy-related Facebook groups. And while I get your frustration and I understand where you're coming from because you feel like, oh, comics shouldn't be charged to submit to these festivals and so on and so forth, totally get that. But remember, when you're lashing out, especially in a public forum like that, people from these comedy festivals are probably watching. And that makes you look very unprofessional because it is a it's an industry standard. Most comedy festivals have submission fees, and like I said, they range in price from $0 to, you know, I've seen festivals that are $100 to submit to, and they go different ranges. Let me take a drink of this real quick. A lot of these festivals will do different levels. They'll have an early bird submission period where the submission fees are typically cheaper. Then they'll do their regular submissions where that's the average price. Then they'll do a late entry where the prices are going to be really high. If you can get on that, early, submit as early as you can, because then you're saving the most amount of money. Now, some things to think about, though. You know, this is why comedy festivals charge money for these. Not all comedy festivals run on sponsorships, or it's a combination. It's not free to do a comedy festival. I've produced three different comedy festivals, or I should say I've been involved in producing three different comedy festivals in three different states, different levels of festivals. And it takes money to run these. You have operating fees, such as, you know, you got to worry about marketing. In some cases, there may be venue rental. I work with one festival where we cover the lodging of the comedians, and that's not free to us. You know, we have to pay for this stuff. You know, we try to do, you know, networking events with some food and things like that, and that's all operating money, and that money's got to come from somewhere, especially if you don't have a big sponsor bankrolling the festival. And it takes time to go through these submissions. That's another thing. Time is money. And when you have a comedy festival, and honestly, I may not be speaking for every festival out there, but I think a lot of comedy festivals do put money, they have these submission fees because they want comics that are serious about comedy submitting. And if somebody takes that risk and they make that commitment to pay the submission fee, they're probably serious about their career. If they do, you know, no submission fees, they're going to get every comic out there is going to be applying. Whether they just started comedy or not, they're going to have to sift through all these videos. And that can be very time consuming. So I think a lot of comedy festivals, that's one of the main reasons they do that, is to help get the people who are serious on that. Now we're going to move on. I got a couple comments here. Justin's got another comment here. We'll catch up on comments and then we'll move on. So, as a super fan of comics, I might consider paying an entrance fee for a comic rather than see their set again. It's the Patreon model of a theater. Yeah, that's really good idea too. I like that idea. I wonder, I've seen that with comedy clubs where they do something similar to theaters like that, but like they have like VIP cards where you are a membership card. So it's similar to that, I feel like, where you can buy like a yearly subscription, and then you can come to whatever shows you want throughout the year. And then and then he said, I didn't know any of this about the comedy festival, but I did run a dance event. The budget, it was $55,000 for 3 days and 300 participants. Event planning is expensive. Yes, you get it. Yep, it is expensive. And that's what people forget, is that, you know, these things cost money. If we decided, if I decided today, I'm going to throw a comedy festival and I try to do it for no money, that festival's probably not going to happen. The next thing I want to talk about as far as comedy festivals are the types of comedy festivals, because there are several different kinds of comedy festivals. The two primary comedy festivals are for profit and fundraising, and there's all kinds of different examples of those, but those can be broken down into subcategories, because there are contests. Comedy festivals. That's going to be like example of that would be the World Series of Comedy. That is a contest festival where they do satellites throughout the year. They have a main event in September, and it's geared more towards feature level comedians, and you're participating and competing for paid time. Paid booking. So if you win that festival, they try to put you up with a bunch of work at clubs and shows throughout the country. So it, you know, it's very competitive. People that are doing that festival, they're trying to be working comedians. So that can be very competitive. Another type of festival is your industry style. That's where, you know, they'll bring in up and comers and a lot of headliners and things like that. And then they bring a lot of industry people. Just for Laughs is a good example of that kind of festival. You know, it's very prestige. You know, you can't just submit to that festival. And I don't know what the process is. I know I've had friends, other comedian friends that have auditioned for like their new faces or fresh faces. And, you know, there's other ways that they've gotten into that festival. And I don't know the whole process. Like I said, I don't know the ins and outs of their festival. And every festival is different. That's the other thing. Everybody has their own criteria. I didn't mention that when I was talking about the research, but I should have. You should, when you're on the website, make sure you're looking at the criteria to see what the festival's looking for. You know, I'm not going to get into doing video submissions and things like that, but look what they're looking for and make sure you're following their instructions, because a lot of festivals, they don't have time, and if you don't follow their instructions, they just disqualify you and just don't say anything, because they don't have time. Like I said, they're trying to plan this festival, and on top of selecting the comedians that are performing, there are a lot of other things they gotta worry about, you know, so keep that in mind. Another kind of comedy festival on here is a, like I said, you get the fundraising, showcase style. And that's where, you know, it's just showcases. And a lot of comedy festivals, I mean, they do have showcases, but, you know, I wanted to kind of emphasize on that because you have your contest style festivals, then you have showcase style festivals. There's all kinds of combinations of all of these, you know. An example of this would be Laugh Fest is a comedy festival in Grand Rapids. They're a fundraising comedy festival. They bring in some industry, and they bring in headliners, and then they have a bunch of showcases. So it's a good mixture. Another fundraising is a festival that I help with, Snow Jam Comedy Festival. We are fully a fully fundraising comedy festival. We do showcases. We try to bring industry in, but we don't guarantee it. That's not something we promise. When comedians are submitting, we're very transparent with what we're doing, and we're just trying to have a fun weekend and raise money for a good cause. Now, like I said, every festival has its own criteria. That's why it's important to find out what they're looking for before you submit, because like I said, it could cost you being in that festival or not. I'm going to get caught up again on some more comments before we get going here. Oh, I got my friend Mike DeVore, who's a great comedian. You should be following him. And a great animator now. He's doing more animation than comedy these days. Very good stuff. But anyway, thanks, Mike. What else does he got? That's another good example of a competition-style festival, the Seattle International Comedy Festival. You also have the San Francisco International Comedy Festival. The same people run both of those festivals. It's a contest where, you know, I think at the end there's a potential that you can get representation and prize money. And that's an intense competition, because the Seattle and the San Francisco international comedy festivals, they run for a whole month. Like, that is a commitment. You know, you have to, you submit, and if you get selected to perform, I think they do like 40 performers, and they break it down into weeks. They do like the first 2 weeks is the first, you know, they break each half into groups, and they do the first round, and then from there, you know, it goes into, you know, just keeps breaking down until you get like the final five or six for that last week. But it's, you know, a 4 week long festival, and it's a contest. So, all right. And then Day, hey, what's up, Day? Thanks for watching. And Mike, Justin wants you to reach out. He wants to hear what kind of animation you do. Well, you can go to, if you look up Mike DeVore on YouTube, one of his popular little animation cartoons is called Max and Friends. It's a cute little cartoon that he did. All right. Okay, so that covered the different types of comedy festivals. Now, the other thing you need to think about when deciding on whether or not you want to submit to a comedy festival, aside from stage time, what else is that comedy festival offering? Because at the end of the day, when you submit to a comedy festival, and if you get selected to perform in said comedy festival, you are making an investment on your career, and you're making a commitment. So you need to think about this from a financial perspective, because at the end of the day, comedy is a business, and you got to keep that in mind. You don't want to keep doing gigs and things like that if you're losing money. And so you got to put, you know, you got to figure out what the value is. Is it a good investment or not? You know, if you're going to do a comedy festival and the only thing they're offering you is 5 minutes of stage time, if you don't live in that area, you know, within driving distance, might not be, you know, if you have to buy a plane ticket and pay for 3 days worth of hotel for 1 5-minute spot, and that's all that's going to happen that weekend, other than you might meet some other comedians, you might want to not do that festival. But most festivals offer a lot of other things, which is great. You know, a lot of them, you got to see what, you know, if it's a contest, there's probably prize money involved, different levels for different, you know, different contests have different prize monies. An example of that, the San Diego Comedy Festival, I think their grand prize for the first place winner now, I think it's $1,000 and a record contract from Uproar Comedy. So that's a pretty good prize. But like I said, not all comedy festivals are contests. Some are just, you know, showcases and industry and things like that. Another thing you should look for is seminars. If you know, a lot of these festivals, you know, we look at these festivals as a time to perform, but in a way, they're kind of like conventions, you know, and networking events and conventions for like any industry, really. And this is another argument going back to submission fees that I have, is that people often complain about submission fees and comedy for these comedy festivals. And if you think about this, if you were in any other industry, and you know, say you were a social media marketing person or a salesperson or, you know, any kind of business, and they do like an annual conference, and, you know, that where they bring in a bunch of different salespeople from all kinds of different, you know, different types of businesses that are in sales. They do a bunch of training. They do a bunch of networking. You know, they may have entertainment, whatever it might be. But the point is, they have to pay to go to that. They're paying so that they can further themselves in their career. That's what they're hoping to get out of it. And that's how you should be looking at some of these comedy festivals, is what can I get out of it to further my career? Now, going back to seminars, like I said, seminars are a good thing. And I don't think you're never too old and you haven't been doing comedy long enough to keep learning. I believe in continuous growth, and I believe that we can continually learn. And that's no different with comedy. I really think, and off topic again, but if you're interested in comedy classes, you know, whether it's writing, improv, stand-up, you know, do it. Is, you know, I would do some research to make sure it's not, you know, just some comic trying to make a quick buck, obviously, because that happens a lot in our industry. But there's nothing wrong with putting money in your future and investing in yourself. You know, but ultimately, it's just up to you to figure out whether or not it's a good investment or not. Now, going back to the seminars, learning, you know, a lot of festivals have started incorporating seminars and things like that on their festivals, and that's a good value. The World Series of Comedy did a really good job of this. I was there last year for their annual event, and, you know, like I said, it was a contest. I made the choice that I was going to go not to worry so much about the contest. I was like, oh, great, I get to be in the contest. I'm going to perform. Cool. I decided I wanted to go meet some people, make some contacts. They bring in a lot of industry people to judge the events and then to help with seminars. So I thought, well, I'm going to try to network, meet some comics, meet some industry people, and they have all these seminars. So I'm going to go and I'm going to try to learn something. So that was my mindset. I was there to learn, like as if I was going to a conference. And like I said, they had a lot of great seminars, and all the seminars were open to the comedians that were performing on the event. And that's something you got to keep in mind when looking at these festivals, because not all festivals offer that. They may offer seminars, but sometimes they charge an additional fee to that. We did a seminar for Snow Jam Comedy Festival a couple of years ago, but because of what it was, we did have to charge an additional fee for that because it was something that we had to pay a lot of money to bring to the festival. So we did have to try to recoup our costs. So that is something that festivals do have to worry about. But for the majority, I feel like most festivals, when they have seminars and classes and, you know, Q&As and things like that, they're going to be open to everybody on the festival. And they're worth going to. At the World Series of Comedy, I learned so much because they had really good industry. They had people that owned comedy clubs and ran comedy clubs and had been doing comedy for a long time. Excuse me. And they did just straight up Q&As where it was nothing but a bunch of comics asking these people questions about, you know, their booking processes and you know, where they feel like comedy's going, you know, because obviously with the pandemic and everything, everybody's been worried about that. But so that's something you want to keep in mind when you're looking at these festivals. What are you getting in addition to that stage time? You know, are there industry mixers? Because that's another important thing. You know, I've seen, you know, comedy festivals where they bring industry in to judge the contest, but you don't get to meet the industry. You have no idea who the industry is. And at that point, unless you're really good and you really woo that industry person, that they're going to reach out and contact you. And maybe you did good on the festival, but not enough to, like, you know, really capture their attention, they're not going to reach out to you. But it would be nice if you could meet those people. So you want networking events, because you also want to be able to hang out with other comics, because networking with other comics is going to be your biggest asset. Because with social media proves it, there are comedians everywhere in the country. Almost every big city, and even some of the smaller cities, have little comedy scenes, and there are comics based everywhere. So that is a really good asset, because if you're trying to plan your own tour, or you're going through and a show falls out and you need something else, reaching out to other comics is going to be the way to do. And a lot of other comics do booking in addition to performing. And that's why I really emphasize this too. You need to be nice to people and watch how you're treating people and acting on a public setting, especially on Facebook. You know, I see so many people go off on little tangents in these public Facebook groups, you know, ridiculing and criticizing and things of that nature. And I understand people get upset, people get bitter when things aren't going their way, but there are people watching. And one of the biggest things I've learned in comedy is you got to be nice to everybody. And some of the most successful people that I know in comedy are the nicest people that I know, you know, because there's the old saying, I'm going to use a little cuss word here. There's an old saying that says, be careful whose toes you step on today, because tomorrow they might be connected to the ass you're trying to kiss. And that goes with me. I really carry that quote to heart because it's true. You never know who's going to be running what down the road. You know, right now you're watching me on here as the host of the Art of Bombing podcast, doing the Between Bombs. And in a couple of years, I could be, you know, just a behind the scenes exec running just comedy festivals and not doing comedy. But my decision could determine whether or not you get into a festival, which could ultimately make your career. Probably not going to happen, but it could. That's the point. That's the point of that. We're going to get caught up on some more comments here. We've got, let's see here. Justin's got some more comments. Some perspective, coding boot camps, 10K, a week-long training for my industry. Oh, yeah, yep. Yeah, those. So that's a good. He's, you know, providing some numbers here on what other industries are paying, you know, to go to these conferences and stuff. They get add up, but it is, you know, for your career. He said in their dance event, our contract with the instructors forced them to socialize at nightly dances. This way they didn't sink back into their hotel room and avoid... Yes, that's a good idea. But see, that goes back to the comedy festival and the people that are running it. That's, you know, ultimately it's up to the people running the festival to make sure that happens. Because they're the ones in charge. Yes, thank you. I really do appreciate it, Day. That's another great comedian if you're watching. Go check out Day-Day's stuff, Dark Day's stuff. He's got... he's been dropping EPs left and right of different gigs and stuff. So go follow him too. And all right, well, that is actually going to wrap up most of what I was going to talk about for, you know, deciding whether or not you should submit. And ultimately, I don't have an answer. I can't say go submit to that festival. Don't go to submit to that festival. The only thing you can do is do your own due diligence. And do the research, put the work in, because comedy, if you want to be serious about comedy, you have to do the work. And when it comes to comedy festivals, doing the work means doing the research. It means going and watching, you know, or not watching, but going and seeing what the festival, what they're looking for, looking at the criteria that they're looking for, following their instructions, you know, finding out whether or not you feel like it's a legitimate festival or not. If you're serious about your career, you're going to spend the money and you're going to invest in yourself because you are going to be your most powerful asset, and you need to invest in yourself at the end of the day. So that's going to wrap up what I was going to talk about, you know, this presentation for Between Bombs. Before I get out of here, though, I am now going to open it up to any questions people might have. I will do my best to answer said questions. Like I said, I myself, while I know quite a bit about comedy and comedy festivals, I'm not an expert. I'm not claiming to be an expert. I'm just giving the insight I've learned over the years and sharing it with other people in hopes that it helps you decide and make, you know, better decisions on your career. If you're a fan of if you enjoyed what you saw and you're not listening to the podcast, make sure you check out our main podcast, theartofbombingpod.com. It's great. Comedians are talking about bombing stories and, more importantly, what they've learned from it. You can find us on all social media platforms at Art of Bombing Pod. So make sure you're following us. Make sure you're liking the content, sharing, and all that jazz. Subscribing. Okay. We've got, all right, Bomb Between. I've learned a lot. That's great. Thank you, Justin, for tuning in. Appreciate you guys watching. Day has a question. Do I have a favorite festival? Hoo-hoo-hoo. Oh, man. Honestly, outside of producing festivals, and this is funny because people, like I said, it goes back to the submission fees, and people get mad about submitting to comedy festivals because it is a risk. You don't always get in. That's the one thing about comedy festivals is you can pay to submit and still not get into the festival. It's part of the process. And to that, I would say, don't get discouraged. Just keep getting better at comedy. And when you feel like you've gotten a lot better, resubmit. Eventually, you'll probably get into that festival. But that being said, as a producer, I haven't myself gotten a lot of comedy festivals. And I always have kind of a running joke where, you know, people will be like, oh, yeah, they find out I run a festival and they'll say something like, oh, yeah, I applied to your festival. I didn't get in. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm sorry. But my running joke is that if I applied to my own comedy festival, I probably wouldn't get in to that comedy festival. So that's my joke. Ha ha. Ba-dum-bum. Anyway, but going back to your question, Day, one of my favorite festivals that I ever done, that I did, that I got to perform in, was one of the very first comedy festival I ever did. And it doesn't exist anymore, but it was called Laugh Tracks Comedy Festival, and it was in Denver, Colorado. I'd been doing comedy maybe not even a year in, and I got into this festival, and it was a great time because I met a lot of really great comics in Denver. I met Sam Talent at that comedy festival. I met Chris Charpentier, Bobby Crane, Nathan Lund, some of these guys that some of the people from the Grawlicks were there, you know. And then I got to meet comics from other areas of the country. It was the first time I got to meet a lot of other comics outside of whatever scene I was in. And at that time, I'd either lived in South Dakota, which was there wasn't really a scene then. There was only a handful of comics, not like it is now. And then I lived in San Diego. So I only knew, and I hadn't been living in San Diego very long, so I really didn't know anybody in San Diego. But that was a fun festival. It was a contest type thing, but they did the shows at a theater, so I got to perform at a theater. They were, you know, they did video of it, and they had some social events, and it was a lot of fun. So that's probably my favorite comedy festival that I've been a part of. Of course, I'm biased, you know, if we're going to put biasm into it, my favorite festival, Snow Jam Comedy Festival, because that ultimately is one of the festivals that is, you know, part of my brain power. You know, I worked with that with Timmy Williams and Nathan Holt and now Luke Johnson. But that, you know, I put my heart and soul into that festival because it was everything that other festivals that I helped with weren't mine creatively. I still had bosses, so I worked for somebody else. So this was something where it's like, oh, there's no bosses. We can do whatever we want within, you know, reason of our budget, essentially. And we've had so far, we've had a very successful run with that festival. You know, like I said, at the beginning of this, we're not doing a festival live in 2021. In fact, we're doing a virtual festival, and we're just doing a best of. So we didn't open it up to other comedians this year just because I didn't feel right about having submissions and submission fees for a virtual festival. If people are going to submit, I want them to come to the event and really experience Snow Jam Comedy Festival. But what we did is we reached out to previous performers, and we're going to do a best of, and that's actually next week. So if you want to watch the shows, you know, you can check that out. All the money that we raise, all the tickets are Goodwill donation. All that money goes to Special Olympics South Dakota. That is the charity that we work with primarily. So if you want to see some fun virtual shows with comedians that have been on the festival prior to that, check it out. On Thursday, we're actually doing something new. We're doing a creator's content, our creator's corner, I think is what we called it. And actually, Mike DeVore is going to be showing some episodes of Max and Friends on that. And he's going to be showing his cartoon. Some other comedians are going to be showing sketches and things that they've been doing. And then we have some stand-up comedy showcases, a fun game show. So there's some fun things that we're going to be doing, and it's all going to be hosted via Zoom and virtually. So if you're interested in that, go to snowjamcomedyfest.com, and you can get tickets for that event. And like I said, they're Goodwill donations, so you can pay whatever you want. The suggested $5 for the event, because it's going to a good cause. But anyway, so I think I'm going to wait just a couple minutes to see if anybody else has got any more questions. For those of you guys watching and getting involved, Day, Justin, Mike, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. I hope that you guys got some insight, and I hope this helps with whether or not you decide to submitting to comedy festivals. I got to say, even as somebody that's been running, I've been trying to submit to more festivals. That's been one of my goals, is to submit to more. And hopefully with, granted, I was going to do that in 2020, and that didn't work so well because either the festivals got canceled or they got turned into virtual festivals or postponed. But hopefully 2021, things will look up. We got vaccines coming, and hopefully, and things are slowly opening up. So hopefully comedy comes back and we can do real comedy festivals again. Because I want to submit to some. This is, how do you get paid if you give the money away? And that's a great question. Because I believe in the cause. the Snow Jam Comedy Festival for us is all volunteer. We do it. We volunteer our time. So that's another reason when people complain about submission fees and they think that every festival is just a greedy money monger, you know, type of person, producer or whatever. It's not true. With our festival, Snow Jam Comedy Festival, none of the people involved get paid. We volunteer our time. The money that, you know, what money we make that we put into, you know, our budget for, you know, bringing in headliners. You know, we also pay for the hotels typically. So we pay for the hotels. So we got to make sure that's covered. And then all our net profits from our event then get donated to Special Olympics South Dakota. And I got to say, I'm very proud of what we've been doing, and I'm glad that I'm giving my time. In the last four years, we've raised cumulatively almost $20,000 for that organization. So to answer your question, we don't get paid. Other festivals, just FYI, I have ran other festivals where I do get paid, you know, because I was working for somebody else. So not every festival do I run for free. So don't think you're going to come get me for free. gotta pay for that time. But like I said, with Snow Jam Comedy Festival, it is my, you know, my festival. It's like my, it's, you know, the love child. So I don't mind donating my time to that. So, and it's been able to create a lot of great networking opportunities for comics and some really good friendships. So I do highly recommend when we open up for Snow Jam 2022, you definitely submit. The submissions are only $20. So, okay, we'll wait, see if there's any other last minute questions, and then we're going to get out of here and we're going to enjoy the rest of Saturday. You know, if you, like I said, you know, there's a lot of fun stuff on the artofbombingpod.com. There's some blogs with some, you know, stuff that I've written where I pretend that I know what I'm doing about comedy. You can also find Art of Bombing on Medium. There's some articles on there as well, medium.com. And, you know, you can't get this hat on artofbombingpod.com because I had this custom made just for me, because hats are pretty expensive to have done. But there's other great merch available. You can get some great t-shirts on the website. You can get stickers, all kinds of cool stuff if, you know, you're interested in supporting. But the best way you can support the podcast is make sure wherever you listen to podcasts, you subscribe and share the content. When we put out our clips, because that's, I don't know, if you're watching this, you may or may not be aware, we've been doing stuff on YouTube now with, we've got the Bomb Drop where we're sharing clips from some of the videos that we did, that we've did, where it's the comedians telling their bombing stories, and that's it. It's just, you know, that clipped out of the full episode. So that's been pretty fun. There's already some really good ones on the YouTube page. And like I said, you can find the Art of Bombing on everything at Art of Bombing Pod. All right. I got one last comment, which is not a question, just Justin saying, Medium, yes, yeah, go check it out. I need to do more stuff on Medium, actually. I made 10 cents from Medium. Woohoo! I'm in the money. All right. All right, guys. I thank you guys so much for watching and tuning in. Like I said, I hope this was helpful. I plan to do more of these Between Bombs live, covering different topics of comedy. If there's something specific that you would like seen, that you would like to see covered in a future episode, you can drop a comment in this wherever you're watching right now, or you can message us on Facebook at the Art of Bombing Pod. You can send an email to the Art of Bombing Pod at gmail.com. And if you're not already, but you're interested in, there is a Art of Bombing Pod Facebook group as well that we're working on, more for just, you know, trying to get better together, grow together, I guess is a good way to put that. So, all right. I thank you guys for tuning in and have a great rest of your Saturday. Ooh.
My friend Dan, he's got a podcast, cause all comics need a podcast, and nobody had a podcast called The Art of Bombing. So Dan went out and bought a tape deck. Who knows why he bought a tape deck? Podcasts don't get played on tape decks, but Dan is from the 80s. So hey there, all you funny jerks, come talk to Dan about your work. Tell him all about your worst times. It's The Art of Bombing.